Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Always good to be with my producer, Brendan Thomas. Brendan, what's on your radar today?
Well, Bob, let me first off say I couldn't agree with you more on your monologue about Twitter with Elon Musk. Now, I am very happy that he's going to be owning it and he's saying these words about this is actually true freedom of speech and everything like that. But I agree with you. I'm very skeptical
still. Take a wait and see attitude.
Exactly.
Because sometimes people talk tough and then they cave. The Republicans do it every time they win an election.
You beat me to the punch. Darn it. Every time. All right. Well, we're in part four of Bible questions tonight.
Okay.
So my first question is a quite interesting one, I would say. As Christians, we believe that people who will reject God will spend their eternity in hell. Why does God create those people still? That's a simple, very controversial question.
Yes. Well, it's a very good question. Paul actually raised that question or acknowledged that it's a question in Romans chapter 9, and he gave two answers. The first answer was, who are we to question God and we don't know? Okay.
That's fair enough, too.
And then we talked last week about Paul giving his opinion, but after he said that, he's going, but let me throw something out here.
Okay.
And he suggested that God allowed everybody, both those who are going to accept him and those who don't, so that those who are going to accept him can kind of be tested and chiseled and fashioned by the others, the iron meeting iron, so to speak. That was a suggestion that Paul made. The truth is, on the bottom line, we still have to call it a mystery. But once again, whatever God's reason was for doing that, none of those people will be able to stand before God and say, hey, it wasn't my fault. If you didn't want me in hell, why did you create
me? My bad on this one. My bad on this.
Yeah, but what they're going to do is they're going to have to admit that they could have chosen to accept Christ if they'd wanted to. So that is the bottom line. They could say, okay, if you knew I wasn't going to accept Christ, why did you create me? That's a very interesting question, but God's going to say, whatever the answer is, you still could have accepted Christ. And that is the bottom line.
Okay, fair enough. It's a really interesting question.
And it is. I can understand somebody asking that.
Yeah, definitely a lot of atheist people will say that too out there. Like, oh, why am I here then?
Atheists will throw out everything but the kitchen sink.
Exactly,
but I don't know if you've heard, I did a whole series of podcasts, and I've done them on the radio too, of how atheists live as though there's a God, even though they're constantly denying it.
Exactly.
They live as though there's value and meaning and purpose and right and wrong, and none of those things could be true if there was no God.
Absolutely. So. Okay, so on to the next question. Does the Bible say anything about infant baptisms? And should churches continue this practice? Now, I personally was baptized as an infant as well, so I was...
Yes, you came out of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, exactly. So, what is your opinion on this matter, and does the Bible say anything about...
Okay, well, let me say, first of all, that this is unfortunately one of those matters that divide churches, and I don't think they should.
I agree.
If I was pastoring a church, and I have pastored churches, when people came and they had a different... I do not baptize infants myself. I do not believe that the Bible condones that practice. However, if somebody was baptized as an infant, I can still be your friend. Okay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think we should split churches over it. But to get to the technical question, what baptism originally meant was a way of somebody proclaiming their dedication to Jesus Christ. It was meant to be a conscious decision. The reason people started baptizing infants is they started freaking out, like, well, what if the baby dies before he's old enough to make a conscious decision? And they thought that by baptizing the baby, they were kind of putting a protective covering over him. Now, that may have been well-intentioned and their hearts may have been in the right place. But along with that theology, we would have to believe in a God who would send an infant to hell. A loving God would not send an infant to hell. And the Bible makes it very clear that infants and even little children have no understanding of right and wrong. I mean, I know little kids as they develop, Johnny, don't steal the apple.
Of course. Yeah.
But I mean,
but those are like common sense.
But they're not.
In terms of more complicated issues, they have no clue. Exactly.
God does not hold little children accountable for good and evil, and certainly a baby who can't even talk yet and doesn't know much what's going on except that he wants his bottle. So the idea that God would have sent those babies to hell had they died, that's the idea that came behind infant baptism. Now, the Catholic churches and the covenant churches, they do have another sacrament called confirmation where they try to replicate the original idea of somebody's baptism being a conscious decision. So what people will do at their confirmation confirmation is they'll say, okay, I now personally add my assent to my baptism because that was not my choice then, but I'm making it my choice now.
Which that happened to me, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, I have been confirmed. So,
and
yes.
That's not the way the Bible says to do it, but if somebody does it that way, that's fine. If I lead somebody to Christ, I'm going to encourage them to get baptized. If somebody is brought up in some other kind of tradition, God doesn't give us a theology exam on Judgment Day. So it's not one of those things where I think churches have to divide over. But since you asked, biblically, we don't see the practice of infant baptism going on.
So that does lead to a few more questions that
sure.
aren't even on my other questions.
Go right ahead.
So is re-baptism okay then or no in that case? No,
I've had people ask me that. There's one baptism that God wants us to have. There are times when people say, well, I got baptized when I was a teenager and I think it might mean more to me now. My wife, when we were in Israel, she wanted to get baptized again because we were at the Jordan. And she wanted to get baptized right where John the Baptist
was. And that's a lifetime
experience.
Yeah,
now I didn't feel the need to get rebaptized. On the other hand, I was one of the ones that was baptizing people in the Jordan. And I thought that was pretty cool. I got the privilege of baptizing my wife. The one that counts, the one that was most important to God, obviously, was the one that she did after she became a Christian. But was there something wrong with her getting baptized again? Of course not. I don't think it's a big deal.
Are there some churches that say it's a big deal?
Oh, there would be some churches. You can run the gamut on the big deal churches. And some churches will say you're not saved until you're baptized. Some churches will say you're not saved until you're baptized in our church. If you were baptized in another church, it doesn't even count.
I have heard that too before.
Okay. So there's just all kinds of barriers that have been put up over this practice. I look at baptism and its relationship to salvation like the relationship between a marriage vow and a wedding ring. Okay, your wedding ring is not what marries you. What married you was you made a vow before God and before your wife.
Yeah, the ring is just symbolic.
Well, can you imagine turning to your wife and saying, now I'm committed only to you and I've made a vow, but I think I'm going to just not wear my wedding ring when I go into singles bars.
Yes.
Then she's going to say, well, wait a minute. If you really made the vow,
then
the ring is just showing what the vow is. So it's like, does baptism save us? No. But on the other hand, if somebody is saved, what would be their reason for refusing to get baptized? So that's another way to put that question.
But it is a big step in your religion as well, getting baptized. So that's...
It is, but some churches see, like now in the Catholic Church, they'll say the baptism of the infant removes the penalty for original sin. And then there are other churches, including the Eastern Orthodox Church, that they believe in baptismal regeneration. I don't believe in that. I believe you're saved. If somebody got saved on a Monday and they were going to get baptized on a Tuesday and they got into a car accident and died, they'd still go to heaven.
But
whereas I don't believe baptism saves you, I do believe baptism is a very important test of your faith to see if you really had been saved.
Okay. Going back to your original statement about how children don't really understand, and so therefore they don't really...
Not to the point where they're held accountable before God.
Exactly.
Obviously, as they grow, they're starting to understand right and wrong. That's why parents are there to raise them.
I do remember a couple of Bible verses where the child actually... gets the sin because of their parents specifically. So what is the complication of that situation?
Well, there are some verses that people have taken out of context and haven't understood the culture. For example, one story that comes to my mind, I don't know if it's the one you were thinking of, but in the book of Joshua, there was a man named Achan who had committed a sin, and because of his sin, Israel was losing the war. So they lined him up and his whole family, and they stoned them to death, and that included his children. But you need to understand, in those days, people lived in clans. A, his children could have been adults, and B, I assume that the entire family participated in the sin and that they were not punishing the entire family just for what the father had done. Because when you get to the book of Ezekiel, it's made very clear, God says, sons will not be put to death for the sins of their fathers, and fathers will not be put to death for the sins of their sons. For a person's own sin, he will live and die. So the Bible's very clear. So it's interesting, the Bible does have the reputation of a God who punishes children for the sins of their fathers. But the Bible's teaching is actually the opposite of that.
Okay, gotcha. So I just took it out of context, probably. So
many take it out of context. And it's very understandable because when we just read it without an understanding of the culture, it does seem to read that way. And who has the time to go and stop and study the culture all the time?
No,
so it's very understandable.
But this is a good learning situation for me. Too,
sure, so, yeah. Absolutely.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/bob.